So I'm really thankful to be here. It's a tremendous privilege to be able to share God's word with you guys, sons of God and all that. Today I get to teach on the renewed mind. I just want to make it clear that I have not mastered this. And if you haven't, maybe this will help you a little bit. But it does offer us an opportunity, the renewed mind, as believers, to walk with the power of God in a dynamic way, to manifest the greatness of God's love, and to be able to minister to people who have a need in this category. With God's help today, I would like to communicate a doctrinal approach to renewed mind believing, just to talk about really how the renewed mind works, I guess that's what that means. And I also want to provide an example to you of what the renewed mind looks like. And then finally, hopefully, if I have time, I'd like to give you just some specific details for a practical process that you can operate in your own lives. So first, talking about the renewed mind, it's simply taking the thoughts of God's word on any given subject and placing those thoughts in your mind so that they become your thoughts. God's thoughts become your thoughts. That's really not that hard, right? It is pretty hard. Because there's something going on behind the scenes that's preventing that from happening. It's called the old nature. So you've got to fight through that, so do I. And we make this thing work as we believe God and process the Word of God in our hearts. The renewed mind is a process that requires us to put on the mind of Christ, which is a new reality in our lives. You're not born with that. It's not who you had been when you were born into the world. It's new because we were born without it. Then at some point we were born again, and that's when we received it. The mind and body we were born with cannot produce the spiritual results detailed in God's word. That's why we shouldn't be surprised when people don't get it. They don't have what we have. What we're trying to do is help them get there by giving them the word that they need so that they can too become born again believers. That's our heart for them, but sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So the mind and body we were born with cannot produce the spiritual results detailed in God's word. Therefore, we have to rely on the newness of life which God created in us in order to get the believing results promised in God's word. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. I mean, the important thing really is we get to a place in our thoughts, in our minds, and in our lives that we actually believe what the Word of God says about us. And what it says is so inspiring and so awesome that I guess it's hard sometimes to just bring yourselves all the way there, or for me it is anyway. I mean, here it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Wow. We have the mind of Christ. So when you read the Gospels and you see the believing of Jesus Christ and the tenacity of his commitment to God's word, that's the same mind you have. You have that ability. But also there's distractions, disturbances. There's an old nature. There's things, stuff and junk that deter us. So it's a choice that we make on a daily, actually moment by moment basis to bring in that mind of Christ in our lives. Look at Colossians 1:27. I mean, these truths are incredible. Remember Dr. Werwell parading around with the old beat up top hat for a minute and saying, "Hey, I'm an ambassador. What kind of an ambassador am I?" Well, what kind of ambassador do you want to be? That's up to you to decide. God set it up for you to be very successful. Then from there, you make your own decisions. And that's a good thing. I like that. I like the privilege to be able to choose, that I'm not really just steered around and directed and forced. I like to be able to choose. I like, yes, not today. Even though not today is a lousy decision, I still like the right to make it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "To whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And we saw a little bit about how great and awesome that privilege is, that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Is that literally true? Yes, it's literally true. We have Christ in him. We are as he is. That's a choice that we get in our lives to be able to walk in that kind of believing. Look at Romans chapter 6. But you know, we have another choice too. We have a choice to be lazy in our minds and rely on the routines of life that we had originally walked in before we had the privilege to know God, and before that privilege we had to not only know God, but to understand the abilities that were created within us. So in Romans chapter 6, we could see something along those lines. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." You know, I don't know. There's so much to say here and to consider about who you are, had been, will be, decisions about where you're going. But our choice, one of the options is that we walk in newness of life, that whatever was is done, and that what we have now is a greater reality and our privilege is to move forward with it. That's the renewed mind process. What's before us is far greater. Maybe a little more discipline required, I don't know. But I do know that it's a greater reality. And I do know, too, that there's a conflict that presses in the back of our minds. Maybe not for you, but I think so because it's in the Word. That it presses in the back of our minds and it tries to force its way up to the front. And if you don't keep pushing it back, then you're going to have a problem walking on the Word of God. You must consider the greatness of God's Word and distinguish between your thoughts and where they line up. That makes you, you. That's who you are. So in Romans, we're finishing up here, chapter 6, and in, I don't know how far I got. Thank you. "Therefore, we're buried with him." Oh, we finished 4. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified." That's God's opinion. The old man, that old nature, that thing that you coordinated and organized to be very successful or to fail, whatever you did to it, it doesn't matter, because the old man is what? Yeah. "Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." We should not serve sin. Jesus Christ did not serve sin. We have the mind of Christ. But do we occasionally serve sin? Yeah, because there's a nature within us that's contrary. Even though it's reckoned dead, there's somehow there's an existence that is within us that's contrary to God's word. "That our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." This is a choice. Who do you serve? I think Bob Dylan wrote a song like that or something. But who do you serve? That's what you want to come to terms with in your day-to-day walk with God, in your believing. There's so many things that each and every one of us can do to serve the Word of God, to help the movement of God's Word, to help people who need God. That's our opportunity. "For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." And this goes on. You can pick it up another time. Look at Romans chapter 7. Verse 5, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." That's our lives. That's the everyday routine of life and people and things. "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter." And that's a choice. We should do it. Whether or not we choose to do it, that's another subject, and it's okay. Because God is so big and so loving that we are his children, and regardless of whether or not we do this, he is going to love us. But wouldn't it be great to get blessed, to bless him, to get blessed, and just serve him and live love and minister the greatness of God's word? Romans 7:21. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." The thing is that, so my job or my effort here is to show the opportunity we have to either walk with God or to choose not to walk with God. Our spirit life with God is complete and we're in good shape. But we have to make decisions within the frame of our mind as to how we live our day-to-day life. And then as we are living our lives day-to-day, we have to make considerations about things and stuff. And the fight is what we're talking about, or what I'm trying to communicate. That in our mind, there's this old nature, and there's the Spirit of God. And the old nature wants to go against the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God wants to overlap the old nature. And so we're dealing with stuff every day. This is a moment-by-moment decision. This is day-to-day, hour-by-hour. We fight for our minds, because the greatness of our minds that we walk in with Jesus Christ make us more than conquerors. And honestly, the old man, that's a loser. It's a dead decision. It doesn't give you any benefit. So it's a fight. It's a conflict. And in the world, it may seem that this would be a good place to break the renewed mind pattern. This would be a good place to compromise on God's word. This could be fun if I just let this go a little bit. But it's never the right decision. And that's a choice that you always get to make. And thank God for that choice, because otherwise we're just robots for Jesus, right? We want to be able to choose the way we think. So in Romans 7:20, it says, "For I delight in the law of God," in verse 22, "after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death," from this dead body? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is. We've been delivered from this dead body, but we have to see it as a dead body. We have to walk away from it. We have to consider the greatness of the superiority of our spiritual existence as opposed to this, I don't know how to describe it as other than dead. It's a dead existence. Superior existence compared to a dead existence. And I have to be honest, at times I make the choice to follow after the pattern of a dead existence. Maybe you do too. I don't know. It's not my responsibility to think about what you do. But the greatness of this is that we get to walk in the superiority of the excellence of Jesus Christ the Lord and live in the shadow of his life, to be as he is. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Which one are you going to follow? Which one do you choose to follow? There's a choice. Every single day, in every situation, there's a choice that we get to make. "For to be carnally minded is what? Death." So that's not the best choice. "But to be spiritually minded is what?" That sounds better, right? Death, life, and peace. So there's a discipline to this, like there is for anything that's worthwhile in life. You pursue after the greatness of the Spirit of God that's living within you because of the greatness of the promise of God that there's life and there's peace for us. It may not always seem like the best decision. It may not always be the easiest way out. It may not always be the quickest solution. But in the end, it's going to be the very best. And that's the way we get to live. And that's some of the fight that we have in our minds. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." And see, if we were to think of that, I think if I were to think of that, like when I'm making a bad decision, that, hey, this is enmity against God, it might hold me up a little bit. It might stop me, because I don't want to be at enmity with God. I kind of like God. He's been really good to me. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So here's a simple solution to the thought process. Do you want to please God? Most of us are people who want to please God. We like God. We think he's cool. I love God. You do too. So we want to make decisions that give us the opportunity to express that love and concern for him. So then they are in flesh, cannot, but ye are not in the flesh. And that's a great reality. We're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. But we can choose to be in the flesh. And that's the conflict. Everything in front of us, every single thing in front of us is about the flesh, except when we're here and we're surrounded by believers. But how frequently is this happening? In your fellowships, yes, but that's an hour a week. In the time you spend in the Word, yes. But what about when you're in your jobs? If you're not working it through your brain cells, if you're not speaking in tongues, then you're like kind of ducking and dodging all the time. We get to walk with God. God has set up a way for us to be able to be with Him in our hearts, in our believing all the time. He's given us 9 manifestations. How much do you take advantage of that in your lives throughout the day? Speaking in tongues, you know, looking for revelation, asking God, what do I do here? For me, too many times I make the decision about what to do before I even get to the situation. I don't even take the time to think about getting God involved at times. Maybe that happens to you. I don't know really what happens to you. I'm just sharing from what I know. So that got us through that second. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 now. So all of this stuff, you know, I mean, it's just such a privilege for us to be who we are, to know what we know, to have what we have. This family, God, you guys, and the people who have helped me over the years. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I lovingly implore you. I would really like for you to consider this matter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and it's by God's mercy, isn't it? By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, God is not asking us to die for Him. He's asking us to remain alive and move with the greatness of God's word and live abundantly and prosperously and healthy. He wants us to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's a reasonable thing to request. It's reasonable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're going to come back here, but I just want to jump over to 1 Peter real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The loins are the power source of the body. Here it refers to the strength of your mind. Bring it all. Bring all your mental capacity. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Prepare our minds. Be strong in our thinking. Be temperate and circumspect and watchful, and consider those things that issue in grace and hope. You know, I don't know about you. I think I endeavor to think about the hope every day. In every situation, I try to bring that to my mind because that's a great opportunity for me. Maybe probably because I'm near 90 now. But my strength, has not abated, so I'm good. But no, I'm serious. This hope thing is so much fun for me to just bring my mind to it time after time and time after time, because it's just, you just know it's down the road. You just know it's coming. It might be today, an hour from now. We're going to hear about that later. So, but it's an exciting thing to think about. It's kind of cool, you know, all of that stuff that's going to go along with it. It's great. And so we're to be as obedient children, not fashion ourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You know, we all have some lust, right? There's been something in our lives that has drawn us into the world and captured us to be prisoners to it. That's kind of what I think about as lust. All of a sudden, you know, I'm not going to share what my lust is, but all of a sudden, it pops up. It's just there. How did it get there? Where did it come from? There's nothing to remind me. It's just, boop, and now I got to clean it up. I got to get out the little broom and shovel, and I got to get it out of there because it's not good. It's not good, and if I let it go, it'll go too far. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Here's some, in case you don't know about it, I know you do. The lusts of the flesh, right? These are things that people in the world think about. These are people who don't have the word, have no escape from. This is all they have. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You know, I have no problem knowing that these are the lusts of the flesh. I see people. I know people who think about and talk about these kinds of things all the time. Idolatry, witchcraft, you know, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedations, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. These are things that are in the world. These are the things that capture the thoughts of people who don't have the word. The things that capture our thoughts are power, love, soundness of mind. It's great. Peace. Look at some of the fruit down here for us. You know, this is a byproduct of our believing. This is the stuff that we live off of and thrive on. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the qualities of our life that we get to enjoy when we walk by the Spirit. So the contrast here, you know, the earlier verses, lust and all that stuff, and now these things, what do you want in your life? The discipline of believing is to capture these things because they're freely available. It's like going to the store and picking these things off of the shelf instead of those. So what do you want to do? But in the world, somehow we just get caught up. It's swept away, and you got to fight. It's the battlefield of the mind. That's what we're talking about today. You got to fight for your thinking. You got to fight for every single thought. And yeah, I don't know, if you're like me, you'll get beat once in a while. Maybe more often than that. But the fight is a good fight. And when you win, there's a great victory in it. So you just fight for the details of your mind. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. So it's really my great privilege and opportunity to be able to have looked at this stuff for a little while, because it's great word, man. It's a great privilege to know what we know and have what we have. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Again, it's a living sacrifice. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And we all know about the metamorpho. It's like a caterpillar being changed to a butterfly. But this is not a physical change in our lives. The caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. But that figure, if it's a figure, it's really the working of what's going on inside of your life, from where you can pull your thoughts from. Where do you want to pull it from, the caterpillar, or you want to pull your thoughts from the butterfly? Do you want to be God inside minded and enjoy the benefits of God's word, like peace, joy, long-suffering, all those great things? Or do you want to enjoy the fullness of the lust of the flesh, you know, and all the things that we talked about? Choice. We get choices, and that's the greatness of God's word. And I really respect God for that. Thank you for choices, because I don't really like to be pushed around too much. It bothers me if I'm forced to do things. We're not forced to do anything. Just go to heaven. He's got a place for us anyway. That's the greatness of the mercy and grace of God. Be not conformed to this world. You know, the change is from the inside out. You know, if we want to be like the rest of the world, then we're just going to be folks with corrupt and undisciplined minds. But our choice is to behave like sons of God. Like Jesus Christ, for example. You know, people need us. God needs us. The world needs us to walk forth as the sons of God. We have great power. We have great ability. We have great understanding. And people need us. They do. Great men in our time, like, they produce results in a worldly way. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a political guy, and I don't really care what you think. It's just an example. But say, let's just assume Donald Trump was a great guy and did great things. Well, that would be great. But it wouldn't change anybody on the inside. It wouldn't help them to be better people. It would just produce a better outside result. We get to change. We get to work with people and change them on the inside so that they have that no matter where they go. And they have the richness of the soundness of mind and the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. That's our opportunity to bring change in people's lives. It's a great privilege. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I lovingly implore you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And that vocation is our invitation to embrace salvation, to fully walk in the greatness of what God has made you to be. Paul is calling us to say, come on, man, let's walk together on this word of God. With all lowliness and meekness, and that lowliness is a humility and modesty and decorum. Maybe arrogance would be an antonym here. I could be arrogant at times. Maybe you can too. We're to walk in lowliness of mind. That's what the word of God says. Lowliness. With long suffering, you know, meekness, long suffering, you know, the ability to endure long, to be patient, to put up with. Sometimes we fall short. I fall short. So what we try to do is we try to correct these behaviors as quickly as possible because God has advised us in this way. Forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We try real hard, and I've been honored to be in a fellowship of believers for, I don't know, maybe half a century. But where we try real hard, we try to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We try to keep it together. There's a place for us to go. We don't have to hook up online. We're here. We got a body of believers together, and we all contribute. You guys do. The leadership does. We're in this together, and it's been an honor, right? Hopefully for you too. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's flip down to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify to the Lord, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. This vanity is depravity. Unbelievers are deprived of the great reality of salvation. They don't have what we have. They cannot enjoy the benefits that we have because they're unbelievers. But we can help them by helping them to understand God's word. In the vanity of their minds. Here's a little more about that. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of their blindness of their hearts. This is not a pretty picture. This is not a place I want to be. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. They have no feeling, so they go to inordinate lust. They go overboard with their lust because they have no sense. To work all uncleanness with greediness. This is the way they live their lives. No thanks, right? Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the form of conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So you must have had some deceitful lust just like me. Well, now I know because God says it. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man, which after God, by the way, is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's who you are. That's what we have. That's our option. Vanity, righteousness, and true holiness. Seems like a simple solution to me. But you know what? The things of life just come at you, bombard you. So what happens is, you get caught up in the old ways of the way you had been thinking. And instead of receiving and holding on to, clutching for dear life, the great realities of who you are in Christ. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So lying is something that is very openly available. It's easy. It's easier to just lie about something than to tell the truth, especially if you're in a bind, right? Just lie. But then God says, put away lying. Just walk forth with boldness, conviction, knowing that the word of God is true. Lying's not acceptable. So we do our best. So all we could do is our best. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And you know, corrupt communication is corrupt communication. It could be lying. It could be tearing people down. It could be a lot of things. We're not to do that. You know, in our fellowships, in our family, sometimes we talk about people. It's not a good place to be. There's no reason for it. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't solve anything. If you have something with somebody, you should talk to them about it. And then that person can make a free will decision whether or not he chooses to change, or she chooses to change. And if they don't, I love them anyway. Because look at you. God loves you anyway, doesn't he? It's not good. Talking about people is no good. It's not a good thing. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Build people up, don't tear them down. That it may minister grace. Our life is built on grace. We want to minister grace. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. You know, and this to grieve not is just not to renew your mind. To decide that your thoughts, that your energy, that your convictions are greater than the convictions of God's word. I don't know how you come to that conclusion, but I guess some people do at times because God warns us about it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, bitterness. I don't know. Just put it away. I don't really know. You know all this stuff already anyway. You've been through this stuff. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And I'm going to share something here about forgiving. You know, forgiving sometimes is a very, very hard thing to do because someone has hurt you or because a circumstance has overwhelmed you based on someone else's behavior. Think about what Jesus Christ forgave us for. Think about what, I'm going to show you something about Jesus Christ later. About forgiveness. Forgiveness is critically important to the mind of a believer. Because like I think Joe shared it, you get bogged down in it. If you hold a grudge against somebody, that's in your freaking mind. And you know what? That person may not even know that you're holding a grudge against them. And so they have nothing in their mind. And here you are carrying this burden around wherever you go. God says forgive. Let it go. That's some advice maybe I could take too. So, I don't know, look at James chapter 3 for a second. James chapter 3 verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to the heavens. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. You know, I think I just really wanted verse 10 there, but if we will humble ourselves to the word of God and allow God to work within us, which he promises to do, a lot of what I'm hearing this week is that get out of the way. Let God do the work, you know, and if we keep our minds pure and don't take in those negative thoughts about people and things and stuff and junk, our minds will be more receptive to the benefits of God and his word for us in our lives. Let's go to Luke right now. Renewed mind is a decision. It's an attitude regarding God and his word. It's the process of putting the word first and believing and acting upon who you are in Christ. It's not some thinking process you coordinated over the years of your life so that you could say, that's just the way I am. That's not the way you are. You're a son of God with power. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're the light of the world. That's who you are. In the renewed mind, you will act like it, and you won't allow anyone to talk you out of it. So it's your choice. It's a decision that you have to walk out in the renewed mind. And so in Luke, I wanted to show you just a couple of small examples of how this renewed mind thing goes. We're in Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Luke 22, 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's the renewed mind. Not my will, but thine be done. Do it God's way. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it was great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This was not an easy time for Jesus Christ, but yet he captured his mind. He held it, and he forced himself to think the word. The word says that he could have got some kind of 72,000 angels to come and get him out of there, but he chose to do the word. All we have to do is choose not to lie, or choose not to talk about people, or choose not to whatever. You know, we're to serve God as living sacrifices. His requirement was to die. And I guess it might have been a bit of a burden on his heart, and I don't blame him. You know, because it wasn't only to die, it was to be tried and tortured. There was just so much to it, and he knew that. But he went ahead and did it anyway. Thank God he did, right? Luke chapter 23. I'm trying to get to the place where he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. 34. Where is it?
34.
Thank you. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And my point was, all of this that happened here. And then the forgiveness. They had this hatred for him. They wanted to hurt him. They wanted to violently kill him. And his thing was, Father, forgive them. And we get hung up on forgiving people because they said a bad word about us. Or we get hung up on not forgiving people because maybe we didn't read them right. We think that they thought something, but we're not sure about how they treated us. Forgive, man. Let it go. And again, back to Joe. That's your burden. That's your burden. So that's the renewed mind in process. No matter what the circumstances, the iron sharpness to hold your mind and do the word and the will of God. There's a conflict that goes on within. We saw that. So we just hold on and we fight for the integrity of the word. And then finally, I just wanted to talk a little bit about how you can practically do this in your mind. The renewed mind is a process. It requires day-to-day attention. Often it requires a struggle within our own mental perception. The right response should always be, not my will, but thine be done. His will is written in his word. That's why if you want to walk with the power of the renewed mind, it will require a diligent study of God's word, right? Studies to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. You need the word in your heart so that you can make good choices. You don't have an automatic selection in your brain to choose the word. You must put the word on. You have to go to the word if you want to. You don't have to. But if you want to renew your mind, you will have to, because you'll have to have the words of God's word to help you think things through. Another thing that it will be important to you in the renewed mind process is that you recognize your position as a son of God, and that you confess that to the detail of your heart, and that you walk with that conviction and believing. 1 John 3:1 says, "Beloved, now are you the sons of God." Either that's true or it's a lie. And if you're a son of God, then you are a very special entity in this world. Sons of God, that's who we are. Ambassadors for Christ, that's who we are. And in the third place, we must be confident in our new nature of Christ dwelling in us. We already talked about Christ in you, the hope of glory. And finally, in our study of God's word, as sons of God with a new nature of Christ dwelling in us, we'll be more inclined to be as he is and walk in love. And I just want to finish in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I'm thankful for the privilege to having done this. I hope in some way, well, I don't know if hope's the right word, but I'd like to think that in some way I was, this Bible that we shared was able to help in some of the stuff that you go through and think about. In chapter 13, it says, "Charity suffereth long," verse 4, "and is kind." Charity suffereth long and is kind. And now, you know what? I think so much about being kind because I hear a lot of it, I hear a lot of it. So I think about it a lot, how important it is to be kind. "Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up." You could say that you're walking in the renewed mind love, but if you are envious of some other opportunity, then you have a problem in your walk because you're not even recognizing that there's an issue. "Does not behave itself unseemly." You figure that out. Work what it means to be unseemly. That's for you. I'm not doing that for you. You do it. "Seeketh not her own," is not easily provoked. Seeketh not her own, not selfish. You know that in the old man, we're all generally selfish. Isn't that what caused the fall in the first place, selfishness? Or wasn't that part of what happened there? "Seeketh not her own," is not easily provoked, flying off the handle like, this is a privilege of Italian people. You just get mad and yell and scream and freak out. It's not right. Cultures don't justify your existence. "Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails." So you walk in love in the renewed mind. You do your best to process the information and the circumstances that you're in. And you conclude with the word. And you use Jesus Christ as our Lord, your Lord, as your example. Because if he could do it, you could do it. Because God so designed this thing that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's all I got.